Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Dusty Baker is going to be the manager of the Houston Astros. According to Bob Nightingale, Brian McTaggart is going to join the show in 15 minutes. We're going to get his reaction to the news that Dusty Baker will be the Astros manager. We'll also hear our conversation with Bob Nightingale, Radio.com insider, who joined us minutes after breaking the news. So we appreciate him for doing that. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. We're going to do a Super Bowl exercise as well. But your immediate reaction, John, to the news that Dusty Baker will be the manager for the Houston Astros.
I like it. And I know it's not the ideal, hey, let's get the next AJ Hinch. First of all, good luck doing that. It's not a long-term solution. I don't think the Astros need a long-term solution right now. In fact, what they need is a Dusty Baker, a guy who's seen just about everything, been in the game forever, has managed multiple teams, has been able to get within a whisper of winning a World Series, has had such a big impact and improved teams. And I'm going to get back to this, but my number one takeaway with Dusty Baker is he's exactly what you need right now, right here with this Astros team. And the reason is, if anyone knows how to handle a team under ridiculous scrutiny, and the Astros will be under ridiculous scrutiny, it's Dusty Baker. You can go back to the 80s. There was a big drug scandal, which ultimately led to drug testing in MLB, and he was with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he was around that team. And they were being followed back in as much as you can back in that day. Everywhere they went and asked all these questions. But then the big reason is, and we were here, a lot of us were here following this, when the San Francisco Giants and Barry Bonds were in the midst of steroid allegations and, incredible media scrutiny when he was on his way to try to break the single-season home run record, and they were being followed by dozens upon dozens of reporters asking questions about everything every single day. Dusty was the manager. Dusty can handle what the Astros are going to be going through this year. That is my number one reason it's a good hire. You can get someone down the road. He's 70. He won't be here more than 3 or 4 years at the most, probably. But for right here, right now, you need that. And right here, right now, the other thing that I was going to get to real quick, Landry, is people talk about, well, yeah, but he didn't win a World Series,
okay,
you know, and he's older and he's not a big analytics guy. Can I interest you in a stat?
You can.
All right. When he took over the San Francisco Giants, he won 31 more games than the year before. All right. When he took over for the Chicago Cubs, he won 21 more games over the previous year. The horrible Reds, he turned into a contender. And the Washington Nationals that beat your Houston Astros in the World Series last year, he basically built that team, winning 94 or 95 games and winning a division title. And a lot of people were upset when he got fired. But he built that. Dusty has won with teams and made them better.
And this is going to be the best team that he's ever inherited. So we'll see what happens. I think he's a safe yet hard ass hire, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it's very safe, but I think he's a good face of a ball club. He could be a transition guy. He could be a guy that's here for 3 years, and then all of a sudden you right the ship and you pass the torch to the next guy for the next era. But I think it's good because honestly, if you do look at this Astros thing, and Jeff Bannister would have been my guy. Make mm-hmm. no mistake about it. I wanted Jeff Bannister, but if you look at this Astros window right now, Justin Verlander has 2 years remaining with the ball club. I think that's your window there. If Justin Verlander can still pitch like he does, Carlos Correa has 2 years under club control. I think you have a 2-year window. And mm-hmm. if it is a win now 2-year window, then I think that, and obviously they can keep it going, but I'm just talking about the for sure certain two-year window with Justin Verlander here coming off that Cy Young.
Right.
Dusty Baker is perfect for a two-year window if you're trying to go all in right now.
And I think you're right. This was a team that we thought was going to end up being a dynasty, maybe 6-8 longer years. But that changed overnight, and it changed when Garrett Cole's gone and some other players leaving, et cetera. So you're right. You need a guy that can win it right now or win right now, and that's Dusty Baker. He's proved it wherever he's gone. Here's the other thing. You'd have to go a long way to find someone who doesn't like Dusty Baker. This team, the Astros team, needs that insulation. It needs that face of the franchise. The manager talks every day in baseball, several times a day, before the game, behind the backstop, after the game, et cetera. So that Dusty's going to become the kind of the face of the Astros, and he's an incredibly likable guy that can insulate you from all the other stuff. And the Astros, frankly, right now, are the most unlike team. In Major League Baseball, so he gives you that.
Yeah, and I don't even know if that's going to change, but it definitely can't hurt to have Dusty Baker calling the shots. Brian McTaggart going to join the show in 10 minutes, give us the latest and greatest with the Houston Astros, who are going to be led by Dusty Baker. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. We're 5 days away from the conclusion of the 2019 NFL season, and we know that the Houston Texans will not be in the Super Bowl, but I wanted to do a little exercise with the Texans roster, a little Super Bowl exercise, if you will, involving the Texans. Keep them or trade them.
Okay.
In other words, you take a member of the Houston Texans, and I'm going to ask you, would you trade them for someone that's on another roster that plays the same position? For example, Deshaun Watson, would you trade him for Pat Mahomes or Jimmy Garoppolo? We'll go through just like that at the key positions.
The answer is no on that one.
So we will start. Would you trade Deshaun Watson for Pat Mahomes or Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, and I certainly understand that Patrick Mahomes is on top of the world right now and back-to-back AFC championship games.
And he's better than Watson right now.
I still like my guy, moving forward.
I think with Bill O'Brien as the coach, I think Deshaun Watson's the perfect quarterback, because Deshaun Watson can, whenever the things aren't schematically set up well, which is something that Clint Sterner has said and a lot of people have said Bill O'Brien doesn't necessarily do as an offensive coordinator, I don't think anyone can make plays like Deshaun Watson when plays break down. So I admit that Patrick Mahomes is better.
He can make lemonade.
Yeah. Out of lemons.
He can make lemonade.
Out of lemons. So if Bill O'Brien's the coach, I will go with Deshaun Watson, but we both acknowledge that Pat Mahomes is better. Mm-hmm. Carlos Hyde, would you trade him? There are a lot of committees here. Would you trade Carlos Hyde for any of the running backs in this game? You got Tevin Coleman, you got Mostert, and you got Damian Williams with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ah, man, that's a good question.
I would trade Carlos Hyde for Tevin Coleman, and I would also trade him for Damian Williams. So, yes, I would.
What about that fast dude for the Niners?
Mostert.
No, the other one.
Mostert.
The other one that got
hurt. Matt Breida.
I like Breida a lot. Maybe I'd trade him for Breida.
Okay.
Yeah.
Matt Breida. Would you trade DeAndre Hopkins for Tyreek Hill or Emmanuel Sanders?
No.
That's a no for me, too. Would you trade any of the Texans tight ends for Travis Kelce or George Kittle?
Let me think. Any Texans tight end for Travis Kelce or Kittle? You're making this hard on me, but I'm going to have to say, yeah, I'll trade them all for one of those dudes.
You have Travis Kelce, who was a third-round pick. Texans have 2 third-round picks on their roster as well in Jordan Akins and Kahale Waring. And then you have a fifth-round pick in Jordan Thomas. Who was also, and George Kittle was also drafted in the fifth round. I'm with you. I would trade any of the tight ends for that. Would you trade J.J. Watts for Nick Bosa and or Frank Clark?
Yes on Bosa. No on Clark.
I'm with you.
Bosa in a heartbeat.
Yes.
I mean, no offense.
He's younger.
All due respect.
He's younger.
JJ.
Probably a little bit more durable right now.
All due respect.
Would you trade Justin Reed for the Honey Badger?
This is a tough one. I'm going to say no, especially given that he played with the torn labrum and was still at that level. Yeah, I'm gonna keep my guy.
I don't want to take anything away from what the Honey Badgers done this year. I think Steve Spagnuolo has used him perfectly, but I think I would still take Justin Reed in this system. Although we don't know what Anthony Weaver's system looks like, but I'll keep Justin Reed. Would you trade any of the Texans' opposite DNs for Arik Armstead?
Yeah, Arik Armstead is really, really good. I think he's going to the Pro Bowl this year. I would trade Blackson and Omenihu for Armstead.
Would you trade any of the Texans' corners for Richard Sherman?
I would trade any and any two you want to name for Richard Sherman.
It's very interesting because you feel better about the offensive line for the Texans heading into 2020. You might feel even worse about the corners because there is going to be likely no J.J.O., and if J.J.O. does try to go again, he's going to be even a year older. So there's reports that Bradley Roby might not even be offered a contract. Cornerback position is going to be a huge,
huge concern.
No first-round pick. That's usually
cornerbacks, when cornerbacks like quarterbacks, the odds of being a big success in the first round are much higher than the lower rounds. I think if they don't re-sign Roby, which has been reported by a couple of people, they're going to let him walk. And J.J.O., even if he comes back, but he's likely going to retire or go into coaching or whatever, you're hurting at cornerback, like bad hurting at cornerback.
See, OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Dodgers fans, they're proclaiming that the Dodgers are back-to-back World Series champions.
Okay,
it's pretty ridiculous. We will hear from them in this hour. We're also going to hear from Brian McTaggart, who covers the Astros closer than most. We're going to ask him about what he thinks about Dusty Baker being the next manager of the Houston Astros. That's next.
It's really frustrating. You look at what could have happened, and I can't go too much into it. You know, speaking for the players, the fans, and, you know, it was quite a season. What could have been different? But really, for me, it kind of goes out to some unfair criticism that guys like Clayton took, you and Kenley, and I guess frustrating is probably the floor, but of my emotions, but that's kind of where I'm at.
Cry me a river, Dave Roberts. That's Dodgers skipper Dave Roberts talking about the Astros cheating. Joining us now, Brian McTaggart. He has covered the club for 15 years. He is currently with MLB.com. Nobody is closer to the Astros than he. Mr. McTaggart, John Lopez, Landry Locker, we appreciate you for joining us. Your reaction to the reports that Dusty Baker will be the next manager of the Houston Astros?
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Yeah, certainly not a surprise, I think, just considering that, you know, Dusty Baker is so well respected in the game. I think it's a safe hire. I think it's a hire that everyone's going to applaud. What he gives you is a guy who's been through, you know, some tough times as a manager before. You know, he managed Barry Bonds through a lot of stuff. So he's dealt with controversy. He knows how to answer all the questions that are going to be coming in the next couple of weeks. It's not going to be very comfortable, but just so well respected in the game, I think that it sort of does give them, you know, their first, you know, good vibration since this whole thing went down. Now, yeah, there is a report that, you know, he's been hired. You know, I've been told by people at the top of the food chain for the Astros, it's not done. They're not there yet. So, you know, I wouldn't totally sign off on Baker being the next manager. I will say it does certainly look that way, that he is going to get hired by the Astros. Not done yet, but definitely a safe hire. I think a solid hire and a good hire. And a man who's won almost 2,000 baseball games and managed in the World Series and three-time manager of the year. So he's got credentials as well.
And, Brian, you know, that's what I said. That's the word I used. You know, it's a safe hire. And people tend to immediately correlate that as if it's a bad thing. But a safe hire for this team with everything that they've gone through and the mess that they're going to see, I think it's the perfect resolution.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, this team is built to win right now, and they could win. I mean, after all they've been through, they could win the World Series this year. I mean, they're good enough to do it. Dusty Baker, you know, I talked to him at the airport last week when he came into town, and he was so driven about having one final chance to get a ring, and he can come into an Astros team and do that. So, yeah, I think it makes sense. You know, he's going to have to surround himself with a staff, probably with some, you know, more forward thinkers. You know, no offense to Dusty Baker, but he didn't come up in the analytic era that we're in now that the Astros embrace so fully, and you know, he's going to have to be on board with that, which I'm sure he is, but I can certainly see him retooling the field staff a little bit to put some people around him who can sort of handle that kind of stuff. But and I could see it being, you know, a two-year deal, and because this window for the Astros to contend, I think, is going to start closing after this season. And so maybe he gives it a shot for two more years, see if he can get them to the World Series, and then, you know, maybe they bring in somebody younger at that point. But, it, you know, it would have been hard to bring in a Mark Kotze or Eduardo Perez or any of these other younger, you know, Will Venable that we heard about, just being so young and not having any experience and just sort of throwing them into this hornet's nest that we're about to get when we get to spring training.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to be in West Palm Beach. They're going to be there for the Nationals. They're going to be there for the Astros. And looks like they're going to be there for Dusty Baker now.
Brian McTaggart joining us of MLB.com, talking about Dusty Baker potentially being the Astros' next manager. Again, some people are reporting it. His sources say it's not quite official yet. You just mentioned the young guys that it would have been hard to hire given this situation. If Dusty Baker is the guy, you know Jim Crane better than anybody. Who else do you think got very, very strong consideration for the gig?
Yeah, well, I certainly think that John Gibbons probably resonated. He interviewed early on in the process. He probably resonated pretty well with him. I know for a fact that Jeff Banister resonated well with him, you know, coming in, being a Houston guy, a guy that would probably want the Astros job over any other job in the world. You know, he used to sneak into the Astrodomes and watch games. A guy who's had some success as a manager, with the Rangers, manager of the year in 2015. So I think that would have resonated with him as well. But, you know, Dusty is just a special guy. I mean, he's the guy that everyone who's ever been around him, everyone that's ever dealt with him, thinks the world of him. And I know he blew the Astros away in his interview, you know, 70-year-old, you know, so what? I mean, he doesn't look like it, doesn't act like it. And I think once Dusty walked out of that interview room that it was probably going to be hard to beat him.
All right, so let's talk about the Astros and the next level of stories that we're getting. And Clayton Kershaw talked about it a little bit. Dave Roberts has talked about it a little bit. The seeming lack of remorse that the Astros have shown publicly outside of Dallas Keuchel, is that going to be priority number one when they get there February 17th?
Yeah, I think it has to be. And Crane addressed that last week. He said the team is going to, you know, apologize publicly. I mean, it was in the report that MLB put out a couple of weeks ago that they stole signs. So it's not that they're dealing with allegations anymore. MLB's come down and said, yes, this did happen. And, you know, it was player driven and people have lost their jobs. So I think we're all waiting to see how the players are going to react. And I certainly expect when we get the spring training that some of the veteran players need to step up and say something. I don't know if someone needs to say something as a group, but I think they just can't continue to ignore it and kick the can down the road like nothing happened. There's going to be a lot of media there, a lot of reporters. It's a story that's not going away anytime soon. And so I think they'll be smart enough, I think, to address it and then try to move on and, you know, try to go win another division title.
Brian McTaggart joining us, reacting to the reports that Dusty Baker will be the manager of the Houston Astros. Again, not official according to Astros sources. What do you think the expectations are for the Astros? If you were laying out the realistic expectations based on the talent coming back, based on Dusty Baker being the skipper, if I were to ask Brian McTaggart realistic expectations, what do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a shot to win the American League. Certainly, you got to think the Yankees are probably the prohibitive favorites in the American League. I mean, they're right there anyway, and now they get Gerrit Cole. I mean, that really swings the balance of favor in favor of the Yankees, I think, at this point. But I do think the Astros should win the American League West for the fourth year in a row. I still think they're the second-best team in the American League. You know, they're facing some payroll budget limitations right now they've never been through, so that's going to really make it hard if they get to the trade deadline to try to add a piece. Their farm system's been deleted, so you know, they're sort of locked in a spot now we haven't seen in a while. But, you know, look at who they have coming back. They have their four core players back: Correa, Bregman, Altuve, and Springer. They have, you know, Gurriel, throw him in there as well. They have two former Cy Young winners at the top of the rotation. You know, there's questions at the bottom of the rotation. You know, how do you replace Cole? You do have McCullers coming back. You know, Jose Urquidy, one of the young guys coming up, what's he going to give you? So, I think they'll win the division, but I think the gap is narrowing a little bit. The A's have gotten a lot better. The Angels are on the come. So I think the window is slowly closing on the Astros. It's not there. They can contend this year. But I think beginning next year, just with the budget limitations they have and the free agents that are coming up, it's going to be really hard to stay in contention. But for now, they're one of the best teams in baseball.
What do you you know this fan base? You grew up here, so you know about the fans and everything. And no team's really captivated the city like the Houston Astros in recent memory. Could you see a situation where maybe the support that the Astros have kind of increases amidst all this this scandal because the us against everybody type thing, or based on the people that you talk to, do you think there's some people that are put off by this?
Yeah, I definitely get the feeling that Astros fans have sort of rallied among themselves, rallied around the team for whatever reason, and everyone else, you know, has pitchforks and just, you know, wants to end the Astros altogether. You know, it's going to be a tough scene when they go to Anaheim and all those Dodgers fans are there, and they're going to get that no matter where they go. But I don't think the fans are going anywhere. As long as they play winning baseball, you know, I think they're going to come out and watch those guys play. But it's going to be tough for them going on the road and dealing with all the stuff they're going to have to deal with. And they're just going to have to wear it and deal with it. And, you know, that's where Dusty Baker will come in and try to, you know, keep them on an even keel and ignore the noise and just stick to baseball. But I think Astros fans are going to be there for their team. I've seen very few cases that I've seen on social media where I've seen fans, you know, say they want to go find a new team. For the most part, they're digging their heels in. And I think the best way for the Astros and their fans, of course, to sort of snub their nose at everybody is if they went out there and won a World Series this year and said, look, we can still do it the right way.
All right, let's bring it full circle before we let you go here. Back to Dusty Baker. There is this this perception of, you know, he's kind of an Andy Reid of baseball. People tend to forget he's improved every team that he's taken over significantly. As much as we say it's safe a pick and he's a nice guy, and even though he's an older guy, the guy can manage and he's made teams better. And so it, to say, like, okay, he's just kind of a gatekeeper, it's kind of true, but he's more than that, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's got a great resume. The Nationals win the World Series, and that's a team that Dusty Baker sort of got to the next level in 2016 and 2017. I mean, they win 95 and 97 games in those two seasons. But, you know, the failures in the playoffs, I think, are just kind of what's done him in. Great regular season track record, has really struggled in the playoffs. But, yeah, with the Reds, you know, got them up to 97 wins, got them to the playoffs. You know, we all know the Cubs when he went in there the first year and they made the playoffs. And, of course, the Giants taking them to the World Series. So it's funny you mentioned Andy Reid, because when I talked to Dusty last week, he was watching the AFC Championship game when he was flying on the plane to Houston from his home in California. And he said he was so happy for Andy Reid to finally get that one final shot.
It can happen.
Like, yeah, he's like, I want that.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, very good analogy.
Do A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow work in baseball again?
I think Hinch definitely does. I think he'll be hired next year to be a manager by somebody. I think he's just too good, and it was clear reading the report, while he should have done more, that he was certainly against what was going on, and he's just too good of a manager and too good of a man, I think, not to manage again. So I think he'll serve a suspension, and then the day after the World Series, I think his phone starts ringing. Luhnow, I'm not so sure about. I mean, he looks a little more culpable in this, just because he looks like he ignored some emails. He's the guy that's at the head of the baseball operations department. You know, ultimately he's in charge. But also, I mean, he wasn't a guy who was well-liked across baseball by other teams, just because of the way they got rid of so many scouts, the way that they sort of, snubbed his nose in the face of tradition, the way they won with analytics, the way no one had done it before, and sort of hired a bunch of people from Wall Street, not hiring baseball people, and they were successful. So there was a lot of people that, you know, didn't like the way he did things, even though he was really successful. So I think it'll be harder for him to get back in the game, especially in the role of a general manager. But, you know, I think Hinch manages again for sure. And, you know, I know if I was looking for a manager next season, he would be the first guy I hire.
Brian McTaggart, thank you very much for joining us, as always, and thank you very much for the insight.
All right, you got it, guys.
All right, man.
Brian McTaggart, MLB.com, reacting to the news that Dusty Baker, likely the next manager for your Houston Astros. Nightingale says, yes, McTaggart, he's got ethics, man. He's going to make sure that that it is official. So we'll keep you up to date on there. We'll also hear from Bob Nightingale after he broke the news as well. Radio.com insider Bob Nightingale, the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. You heard from Dave Roberts, the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, talking about the cheating,
mm-hmm.
you won't believe what the Dodgers players are saying. Lots of whining next. All right, Brian McTaggart, thank you very much for joining the show. Thanks to Bob Nightingale as well. We've been all over this Astros news. Dusty Baker looks like he's going to be the next manager of your Houston Astros. The Los Angeles Dodgers, a lot of fans are proclaiming them back-to-back World Series champs. The 2017 and the 2018 World Series champs. Hey, they're doing it, Figgy. I'm not making this up. This ain't fake news. Mm-hmm. We heard from Dave Roberts earlier in the show talking about losing to the Astros in the 2017 World Series. Let's hear from some of the Dodgers players. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. I was a Bannister guy, but I'm okay with Dusty Baker. What say the loopholes? What say the Astros fans? Here's Justin Turner, Los Angeles Dodgers third baseman on the Astros cheating scandal in 2017.
It's tough, you know. Obviously, MLB and the commissioner did their investigations, and they found enough evidence to support, you know, three managers losing their job and two general managers. So obviously, there was something there, and that crossed the line. And I think the tough part is, you know, we know how hard it is to win a World Series. You know, getting there back to back years and not being successful, and it's hard to feel like they earned it.
Man. The one part that is hard to argue, you know, is like, it happened, guys. I mean, it's you were cheating. You got caught. It was not sign stealing in terms of the traditional baseball sense. So that's why I think a lot of people, Landry, it just comes back to, why are they even, you know, why are they so reluctant to even acknowledge that and then just say, you know, you're sorry or you know, apologize to the Dodgers as an organization or whatever it is. And that's what's bothering people.
That is what's bothering them, bothering people. But to clarify what he just said, like the MLB didn't get rid of the managers.
No, well, the report did.
The clubs made that decision themselves.
No, you're right. But I mean,
so the MLB didn't
one led
just, like,
directly
ban
the to the other. It wasn't a 6 degrees of separation here. I mean, one led directly to the other.
Here is Enrique Hernandez on the cheating as the Astros, as the Dodgers continue to react to the Astros cheating scandal.
They cheated and they got away with it and they got a ring out of it. So I guess if nothing happened to them as players, good for them. We got, you could say, cheated in the World Series. You know, whether you apologize or not, you know, it is what it is. For whatever reason, since they were able to get away with it, they didn't have to apologize. I don't know. Maybe they're going to apologize in the future. I don't know.
God, people are getting bitter with the Astros, man. Talk about the most hated team in baseball. Right now, they're the most hated team in sports.
They're the most hated team in sports, and that's not going away. I mean, that's what the Astros are going to be known as outside of Houston. But
it's not fan hate either. It's inside the game hate.
Yeah, it's players.
Yeah,
it's players, and it's media types. It's all of that. Baseball has a villain, and it's the Houston Astros. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't see this as a possibility. I mean, if you would have told me
in 2017,
if you'd have told me this was going to be the most hated team in town, I would have been shocked. I mean, I would have been 100% shocked if you would have told me that, but that's the reality of the situation. That's what the Dodgers are saying. I just don't see how, and I understand that fans come in different shapes, sizes, mindsets, and whatnot. I just don't see how you could really sit here and try to proclaim yourself champions when you lost
no,
the games.
No, I totally disagree with that.
To me, that's really strange. You disagree with that?
No, I said I totally agree with that. I mean, they might have been champions, but you know, you can't say they would have been had the Astros not cheated. No, I don't like that at all. Astros right now they're on such thin ice. You know, the more I think about this Dusty Baker trade, hiring, the more I like it. He'll insulate them. He'll take. He's likable. They're a team that's just going to be. They're going to be thrown at. You know, maybe not a lot.
Really? Do you really think that's going to happen?
Yes. It's baseball, man. A bunch of meatheads in baseball. I mean, they hold grudges for years. I mean, how many times have you heard, like, well, why'd you throw at him? Well, when we were in college, you know, he did such and such and slid hard at second base. So 8 years later, I threw at him. I mean, no, Astros are going to be getting in it. No, they're going to be in it.
I mean, I think you just got to refrain, though. There's no win-win.
They're
going to
be warned every game, so it might not be as much as it would have otherwise.
It's a lose-lose situation, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing the Astros can gain from engaging in such stuff.
Right.
I mean, I think you just got to take it on the chin. You got to run to first base, and that'll be the end of it. I'm intrigued to hear what these apologies that everyone's saying are going to come from the Astros are going to sound like. Like, is it – what kind of apology do you really expect from – the Alex Bregmans of the world, the Jose Altuves, the
maybe
Correas.
None. Like, I don't know, unless they're told to.
Well, I mean, Jim Crane has said it's going to happen, so there's no reason to believe that it's not going to happen. I just don't know, like, what exactly are they going to go out there and say? We're sorry that it happened.
And it has to be how believable and sincere it seems. I think it's not just to the fans. You know, it can't be those weak apologies like we talked about the other day. You know, if that offended you, I'm sorry. That's not an apology. You know, I'm sorry I did this to baseball is the right apology. I did this to, and it affected the Dodgers. You know, that's an apology.
I think the 100%, I think the way in which we're going to see exactly where Jim Crane's head is at, and honestly, Jim Crane's been so transparent that it's kind of easy to see, but what he wants the message to be for the Houston Astros, we're going to see it when Dusty Baker gets introduced to the fans at the press conference, because he's going to be the voice of this whole thing. He's going to be the face of the Astros moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever Jim Crane tells him he wants the message to be, I think that's going to be the most accurate representation of what we see.
Yeah, he's going to tell them, you know, how it's going to be, and he may even be involved in it as well. Again, even though he did apologize.
Dusty Baker, the likely manager for your Houston Astros. Bob Nightingale had it first. Astros are saying it's not quite official. Got to think you got to dot the I's. A lot of times you want to maybe Jim Crane hasn't reached out to all 746 people that he interviewed, so he's got to make 746 calls and let them know that he's going in that direction. So that's probably what's going on right now with Jim Crane. He's got to let the guys know. But let's be honest, it's already out. So there might be a chance that some of these candidates found out as a result of what was on the internet, which tends to happen these days, John Lopez.
Yeah, it gets out pretty quick. I'm relatively confident that this is definite. I'm relatively confident that this is it. And Dusty's going to be the manager, and it just makes a lot more sense to me. It really does.
It really does. And this is not hindsight, because I didn't quite hear you like going for
no,
Dusty
when
before.
When he was first a candidate, I was explaining what I thought he would be, and that's what I've mentioned today. I think he's a bridge. You know, I think he's a short term hire, but I didn't really kind of process
the 2-year window. I think, and I said it, and then yeah. McTaggart said it minutes later. I think the 2-year window is something to really look at with Verlander. You
yeah.
have him for 2 more years.
Yeah.
He's coming off a Cy Young. You do have, well, based on the last time we saw him on the mound in the regular season, you do have a Cy Young quality pitcher at the top of the rotation along with the lineup. So as long as you have that, I think your window's there.
Yeah.
And if you have a 2-year window, if you look at it that way, and then you're going to hire someone after that, then I think Dusty Baker is good for just a 2-year win-now window.
Yeah, and I didn't really look deeply into everything he could offer this team until he got hired. And I think it's a good thing. I really do. Keep in mind now, as McTaggart said, he expects them to be the second-best team in the American League and win the division again. I would, too. I'm probably going to be lockstep with him right there. But it's a new general manager, new manager, probably new baseball people, and then this controversy hanging over your head, and you're asked about it constantly from the day you arrive in spring training until the last day of your season, whenever that is. That's going to affect long-term success of this team at some point. So how much it affects it is the question.
If we would have gone back, let's say, 6 months ago, let's just go back half a year, and I'm talking to John Lopez on In the Loop, and we're starting the show and we throw out the hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
Which team in town of the big three teams will be the first one to have a new GM and a new head coach / manager? I mean, the Astros wouldn't have even been in discussion. You wouldn't have even been able to comprehend that.
How about this? Would there have been a prop bet the day after the 2017 World Series of A.J. Hinch not managing this team in 2020?
No. No, I mean, absolutely.
What would the
not.
Odds have been?
They would have been probably like 1 in 1 trillion. Like, honestly, and you got
– like, they win the World Series, and I go to Vegas and figure and say, I want to bet $1,000 on A.J. Hinch not managing the Astros in 2020.
I mean, at some time, it's looked like, you know, the GM, and John McClain said that Bill O'Brien's the GM and Jack Easterby's the assistant GM, so I'll start running with that. But at some time, you know, Daryl Morey tweeted about China, mm-hmm. so you didn't know what was going to happen there. Mike D'Antoni had all that drama, and then you had Bill O'Brien, the whole Bill O'Brien situation with Brian Gain. And the Astros were just the face of everything that was right in sports here. And all of a sudden we're sitting here, and the two guys that are being replaced or in the process of being replaced are the ones that we didn't even see anything wrong with. We saw no flaw of. Life comes at you fast, John. They say that a lot, but in sports, especially in this town, in the city of Houston, it comes at you fast.
It can change in a heartbeat. And, you know, since you mentioned John McClain, you and I never really followed up on it. And maybe we can a little more in the 1 o'clock hour, but he flat out said he's never worked with an organization that's been more difficult to work with than these Houston Texans. That, I mean, maybe it's because I've been in the business a little bit, you know, and that's quite the statement from John McClain, 40 plus years covering sports in this town. I've never worked with an organization that's more difficult to work with than these Texans. There's something going on, man. I mean, we've talked about it. We've addressed it. You know, it's out there. That John's talked about it in his columns and obviously on our airwaves. There is a some sort of a power, not struggle, I guess, just power play.
I don't even know if it's a struggle anymore.
Yeah, it's a power play. More people got fired today, and John could say And you might agree.
Four lower guys level.
And, yeah. But on top of
strength
Chris
and conditioning,
and
Moses.
On top of everybody else. JJ Moses, who doesn't like him? How does he get fired? How does he rub someone the wrong way?
He might be a little too friendly early in the morning, maybe.
There's a real power play going on there. And I'm still mind blown over the fact that you can't call Bill O'Brien. You know, they can't put it on the website. Head coach / general manager. Why?
You want to know why?
Because he said, because John also said Jack Easterby is the assistant general manager. His title is what, vice president for development? Why can't you put vice president for development / assistant general manager? What makes that a non-starter?
To answer your question, I think it limits accountability, and I think there's a lot of people that feel like there is limited accountability when it comes to stuff that Bill O'Brien actually does. You know, you've seen strength and conditioning guys gone, you've seen guys from the defensive staff gone, you've seen executives gone, you've seen a lot of people fired here and there by Bill O'Brien, who John McClain says is the GM, and no changes in offense despite the fact you invested the most there, and there's just limited accountability. And I think if you did put the title coach / GM right there with Bill O'Brien, he wouldn't be able to go up there and say we whenever discussing the organization. And I think from my perspective, and I'm not saying I wouldn't even but it limits the accountability.
I agree with you. I think it's kind of plausible deniability as to whose fault it is.
Yeah, you can point elsewhere.
Who to blame?
Yeah,
you know?
I think that would be the answer to your question from what it appears the outside looking in.
How is that okay?
What do you mean, how's it okay? Because does it have to be okay? Mm-hmm. That's the question. It's okay to who? Like, what do you mean okay? Like, who exactly would it
maybe
not be okay
not, maybe
to?
Okay is the wrong word. I just thought, why are you so adamant about saying, oh, no, we can't put it on our website. We can't give him an official title in the program of general manager. Oh, no, Jack Easterby is vice president of player development. We cannot call him assistant general manager, even though everyone knows and John calls them that publicly and in his reports that's what they do. It's just, I don't understand it. I just don't understand it at all.
So all these guys are getting fired. McClain said it's not rare to have, you know, like five, whatever Aaron Wilson reported, like five lower level guys get let go. I don't recall it really happening very often. Maybe
it is a regular occurrence.
There is turnover.
It isn't this kind of volume of significant pieces. Keep in mind, a year ago, I mean, you still had Brian Gain. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So since 1 year ago, the general manager, Brian Gain, the money guy, Chris Olsen, you've had John Pagano, Roman Crennel retires, air quotes, if you want to put them there. Today it was J.J. Moses, assistant strength coach Jason George, performance therapist and conditioning coach Billy Voltaire, executive assistant for football administration Eva Graham, and college scouting administrative assistant Amber Davies. And I know I'm missing some in there too, and some other coaches might be gone as well, according to John McClain. It's an incredible volume. It's an incredible turnover in 1 year's time, all this to happen.
I want you to summarize your emotions, because it's an emotional roller coaster, and I think that's the beauty of sports in general, is it's an emotional roller coaster, but it's kind of like an escape, and in the big scheme of things, your emotions could be much worse, and they could have much more validity in the big picture of things. But if you just look at the emotions that we've gone through when following this Texans organization,
mm-hmm.
So last year you had Brian Gain as the GM. You didn't know what was going to happen with Kareem Jackson. You didn't know what was going to happen with the Honey Badger. So, you know, we were speculating that when we were at the Super Bowl in Atlanta. So you had that. Then you had all the Clowney drama.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know how that was going to be handled. And you had the situation where Brian Gain went through the offseason. A lot of people, including you, didn't feel that he was aggressive enough. But mm-hmm. Brian Gain was not using. He was keeping the powder a little bit too dry. So Brian Gain gets fired. B.O.B. starts making trades. We have a resolution of the Clowney situation. You go through a season. Some people would say the Texans didn't take that next step. I would be one of those people, because you had another team in the division for the second straight year go further than you in the playoffs. And now here we are with the Houston Texans, and the roller coaster is continuing. What would you say summarizes your feelings right now about the Houston Texans? What do you feel right now? What are you feeling based on everything you've said, based on everything John McClain's told us? What's your feels right now?
I'm right now today, based on this conversation, I'm really kind of confused about what's the operating procedure out there. Who's doing what exactly? Why is it so secretive? Why you can't call a general manager a general manager and an assistant general manager an assistant general manager. Beyond that, it's the same feelings we've had, you know, since the day after and the day of the Chiefs game. This is a ceiling. You've reached the ceiling here.
But I want to ask you this, because I think a lot of times you know, what's the movie? You Can't Handle the Truth?
Oh,
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Same actor.
Jack Nicholson, whatever. You Can't Handle the Truth. Whatever movie that's from, You Want the Truth, You Can't Handle the Truth.
Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men. Shout out to John Lopez and Google for that one. And I'm sure loopholes are coming through like crazy with that dog cussing me for not knowing that. But you can't. I don't know that we can handle the truth. And I think almost as helpless as you feel with the uncertainty here, I think in the back of our mind, we know what the truth is with this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think John McClain's kind of tried to lead us in that direction. But I think we almost, like, as much as we say we don't like this uncertainty and we don't like, you know, this confusion, I almost feel like being naive at this point, or at least acting like you're naive and acting like you're confused and acting like you don't know what's going on.
Right.
I feel like it's better than the alternative, because I think if they were 100% transparent about mm-hmm. what was going on over there, I think myself, I think a lot of loophole/listeners, I think a lot of media types, I think a lot of people who tailgate and spend a lot of their time and money on what goes on there, I don't think they would like the truth better than the uncertainty. I think the reality would slap you in the face and you might be a little bit more disappointed.
And I also feel like they would like to know those things.
Why?
Like, is he the general manager? Or, you know, because there's still this sort of...
We kind of know, don't
even
we?
Even though everybody says
we
know.
We kind of know, don't we?
But the word kinda, see? Kinda is a key word that
Yeah, because I'm holding on to it. I'm holding on to being naive. I'm one of those people.
But most people don't want kinda. They want to know for sure.
Want uncertainty. I can't handle the truth.
And again, it's not even like...
I don't think I can handle the truth, John.
For me, yeah, exactly.
Can you handle the truth?
You can't. You need me on that
Do you want the truth?
You need me on that
Can you handle the truth? You want it? Bill O'Brien is king.
Yeah, Bill. Well, we've called him that. It's King Bill.
John McClain's told us.
Mm-hmm.
There's no uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Let go of it. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. It's I'm so confused.
You're not confused. You know what it is.
No, I know he's the general manager. I'm so confused why they play this game. You know?
Because it limits accountability.
Because they can.
It limits accountability.
Yeah.
It's like when Tom Herman says, well, it's a collaborative effort on who calls the plays.
Yeah,
because you don't want someone to call your ass out when you call a bad play. It limits the accountability by making it mysterious.
Plausible deniability.
It's just what it is. But maybe we just can't handle the truth. And you know what? Until then, the OG's confused, and I'm going to be naive. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. A future Hall of Fame QB. He's going to be looking for a new home. The Honey Badger goes third person. An emotional police video. Yes, that's right. Police video. One of our favorite things on In the Loop. We're going to give it to you next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.